Amos said in chapter number 3 and verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Word of God declares that man cannot walk with God unless there is an agreement. And it is that we must agree with Him. I think many people have it in their minds rather that God must agree with us. I know and you know many people who are guilty of making their own God. And the God that they make will agree with them on a multitude of things. Father, bless your servant tonight. Bless your word tonight. Bless your people tonight. May the church be uplifted. And may we not spend this time in vain, but rather by your spirit, speak to hearts. Amen and amen. 3 weeks ago, we began to speak on this subject. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Tonight, we continue the thought. First of all, I spoke with you on this truth, that man is a ruined being. Now, folks, listen to me. I didn't come to town with a load of pumpkins. I promise you that there are a multitude of people in this world who really think they're good enough to walk into heaven. There's a multitude of religionists tonight who are convinced in their mind that all they've got to do is die and walk into heaven. But let me assure you that you are ruined. And unless God Almighty saves you from that ruined condition, you'll go to hell like a fireball. No hope, no help, no heaven. Are you depraved? Is there a God in glory?
Amen.
Let me make this statement to you. You remember this for the rest of your days. You are as depraved as you believe God is sovereign.
Amen.
Can you put that together?
Yeah.
If you believe God is just some secondary king somewhere, then you think you're pretty good.
Amen.
But if you believe God is the creator, that God is sovereign,
Amen.
Then you believe that you are a depraved individual.
Amen.
Paul said, we're dead in trespasses and sin. You can't get any further off than that. Dead in trespasses and sin. Therefore, salvation is really a resurrection. So you were ruined, and only God could bring you out of that circumstance. Last week we talked about this reality that we must be regenerated. This word regeneration is often confused with salvation. And most literature today put them together. Most preachers put it together. But I'm telling you that regeneration and salvation are two different things. First of all, you know they don't spell themselves alike. They are not pronounced alike. That makes them different enough, doesn't it? But the fact that God regenerates you, then He saves you. Now, remember what I said to you. In regeneration, God begins to do spiritual surgery on you. God opens your eyes and lets you see things you never saw before. God opens your ears and lets you hear things you never heard before. God gives you a heart that is softened so you can feel the things of God. How many of you attended church for a long time before you ever really heard the message? People have sat on the pews and sat on the pews and sat on the pews for years. Sure, they heard the sound, but they never heard the message.
Amen.
Only when God lets you hear, when God deals with your ears and your heart, Now you can begin to hear the things of God and feel the things of God. But otherwise you just sit there like a stump on a log. And that was it. You didn't hear anything. You may have sang the songs, but you didn't know what you were singing. You heard the prayers offered before God. You didn't care anything about it. You heard the preaching, but it didn't mean a thing in the world to you. But one day, one day the Holy Ghost said, it's time for you to hear. And God opened your ears and your heart, and you heard. And God began to bring you into the household of faith. Salvation is not an instantaneous thing, though it is said to be very often. Salvation is a progression where God brings you from that stupor that you are in and brings you into the household of faith. But it brings you through the door of regeneration. Amen. Opening your heart, opening your ears, opening your eyes. How many times has somebody prayed for someone for years and years? Amen. I had a call just yesterday. The grandmother who was rejoicing because her grandson, after 15 years, 15 years of praying. Hallelujah. Hey, don't give up on the wayward. Don't give up. God's still on the throne. And as awful as they may be tonight, God may just save them in days to come. Don't give up on the wayward. For God's still on the throne. Remember, we said God is sovereign. If God's sovereign, he can do anything. Is that right? Absolutely so. Tonight we come to this thought. Repentance. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. If you're not careful, you're not going to hear this word said very often. Repentance is as much a doctrine of the household of faith as is the love of God. As is heaven or hell. Repentance is an absolute necessity. There was a great argument a few years ago. Those who led the argument are already in before the judgment bar. God bless them. Those who began the argument were saying, repentance is not necessary. Repentance is a work, and therefore it's not necessary for salvation. But I beg to differ with that. I beg to differ with it because the Lord Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Three times in this chapter, our Lord said those very words. By the way, that's in Luke chapter number 13. The first time he says it in verse 3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Isn't that a strange thing? Our Lord said you've got to repent. Preacher said it's not necessary. Let me tell you something. I learned a long time ago that God knew more than most preachers. Now, some of them know more than he does. They think. But the God of glory said, you must repent. Now, the preacher says it's not necessary, then you don't pay attention to the preacher. You pay attention to God. This book's right when every preacher is wrong. That, by the way, began in one of the schools. And preacher after preacher came out of that school and began to spew that out of their mouths, that repentance is not necessary. Some of you folks may have heard that from time to time. Blot it out of your mind. Take it away. Because it is not so. Definitely not so. This, by the way, is one of the foundational truths of the house of God. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you repented. Somewhere along the road, you repented before God Almighty. John the Baptist came preaching. Guess what he preached? Repentance. Jesus came preaching. Guess what he preached? Repentance. Now let's see. We have John the Baptist preaching repent. Jesus preaching repent. And we'll get on some others in a few moments. But here's the truth of the matter. That's all you need. All you need is a second one in line. If Jesus said it, it's so. So we must repent. If this is so important, then what is it? What is repentance? Now let me assure you, first of all, it's not crying a boatload of tears at an altar. Can I tell you something without hurting your feelings tonight? Tears have never washed away one single sin. Not one. Now, I'm not belittling the broken heart because of sin. Not by any stretch of the imagination. I love to see people weep their way to Christ. But those tears are not what gets the job done. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that purges us from our sin. Not your tears. Not your contrition. Your pleading with God will not get the job done. Not at all. Your mama's prayers will not get the job done. Hello? The preacher's prayers will not get the job done. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That and that alone. Absolutely nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. The essential element. The only thing that you can barter with in heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. If you don't believe that, read Matthew chapter number 7. Get down there to about verse number 21 and find out what that religious crowd, when they came before the Lord, began to tell him all the things that they had done. And he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You know that's a sad statement. Can I say to you, in all probability, the saddest statement that will ever grace the ears of mankind is, depart from me, I never knew you. The saddest statement ever made by mankind was made by one named Pharaoh when he said, I know not the Lord. How sad is that? For a man to say, I know not the Lord. How sad. Repentance, one of the capstones of our faith. But repentance is of no value whatsoever if it is not accompanied by one more thing. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can repent, 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 repent. Ahab repented. Put on sackcloth and ashes. David repented. Thank God. David was heard. Manasseh, can you imagine? You may not be familiar with this king, but he's King Hezekiah's son. King Hezekiah was a good king. Loved the Lord. Walk with God. And then his son came along and he literally sacrificed his own children. Can you imagine? Look up here at me. We're not praying yet. Listen carefully. Whether you realize it or not, the same thing is happening across America tonight. Men and women are sacrificing their children to the God of this world. That's as bad as Manasseh was. But Manasseh was cast in prison. And in prison, he began to cry out to God. And God forgave him. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I mentioned David a few moments ago. David repented. David's repentance was for a sin that is common today, but in that day and time marked a man for his life. Amen. David took another man's wife, and David took that man's life. And the finger of the prophet of God pointed straight at David and said, "Thou art the man." David began to cry. Read his repentance in Psalm 51. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And the prophet came back to David and said, the Lord has forgiven your sin." Glory. Let me tell you something. Sweet words to the heart of the penitent sinner, the Lord has forgiven you. The Lord has forgiven you. I don't think there's any sweeter words that you could hear this side of glory than to hear the Holy Ghost say, "You're forgiven." To know from the good word of God that the good word of God said, "You are forgiven. You are forgiven." Repentance is a thorough change of a man's mind towards sin. Now listen carefully. When you repent, you are changing your mind about sin in your life, not somebody else's life. We're guilty of repenting for everybody else. What we need to do is look at us. And when the Holy Ghost fingers sin in your heart, that's the sin you need to confess. That's the sin you need to repent of. That's the sin you need to despise in your own heart. Repentance says, "I'm changing my mind." Literally, I'm changing my heart about what I loved yesterday. Amen. Did you catch that? Amen. Now, if I loved it yesterday and I'm truly repentant, I hate it today. Amen. You see, when we repent, our minds change about those things that we've done. We thought they were things that we should do. Now, we're looking back at those things and we're ashamed of what we've done. Now we see ourselves as sinners before God. You see, sin is not a plaything. Sin is a real thing that'll put you in hell. By the way, you really don't have to do anything outwardly and overtly to be a sinner. Amen. You came into this world a sinner. Did you ever notice that you don't have to teach a child a lie? There are no schools in this world that take our children and teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to steal, to be deceptive. No one has to teach them. Hey, do you realize that no one taught you to be a sinner. You were birthed a sinner. Did you ever notice that when a dog is birthed, he starts yelping almost instantly? You know why he does that? Because he's a dog. You don't have to teach him to do that. He's a dog. You don't have to teach a man to sin. He's a sinner. And when we repent, we're saying, I despise what I was, what I did. And I love the God of glory.
Amen.
What a change of mind. What a change of heart. There's a story of a young man who despised his next door neighbor. She was a beautiful girl. But for some reason or the other, he just despised her. And he grew up not liking her and saying bad things about her. But one day, they met in a circumstance where both of them had to be close together for a few moments. And he began to look at her. And as he looked at her, he saw the beauty. And before that little meeting was over, his heart had changed. And now you see what he despised yesterday. He loves today. The sinner despises the things of God. And until he begins to see the beauty, until he understands a part of what it means to be a child of God. That can only happen when that revelation in the sense of regeneration becomes a reality. God lets you begin to see what you never saw before. He never saw her beauty before. He just despised her so much he thought she was ugly. But when he began to see her beauty, things begin to happen otherwise. When God lets you begin to see the beauty of heaven, the joy of being saved, the promises that are yours in this book when you know the Lord Jesus, when your eyes begin to behold and your ears begin to hear and your heart begins to feel those things, my, 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 what a difference takes place in your heart. Why? Why is that so? Because God has granted you repentance. Which brings me to this. What makes a man repent? What causes you to repent of sin? God, just as he grants you mercy, just as he grants you love, grants you repentance. You see, that's why those fellows were all wrong. It's not a work of man, it's a work of God. That's where they missed it entirely. It is the gift of God. God grants you repentance just like he grants you life. When God gives you the opportunity to repent, your heart changes inside. Your whole nature changes. What you loved, you now hate. And what you hated, you now love. Glory. Glory. This thing of repentance, true repentance, begins with this reality that I know what sin is. How many people, now I didn't get here yesterday, but down through the years in dealing with people, I found people that didn't know what sin was. I've really found folks that honestly said to me, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And why did they say that? Because they didn't know what sin was. They practiced it so long. I was in a meeting in North Georgia probably 40 years ago. And the pastor of the church had told me on Monday when I arrived, he said, Brother Lamb, in the next few weeks, I'm resigning here and going to another church. And he said, that church's choir is coming to sing for us tomorrow night. So I was kind of anxious to see where he was going. You can tell from the choir where he's going if you've got any sense of spirituality about you whatsoever. And the choir came in, and they were dressed like they're going to a bullfight.
Amen.
And the lady director of the choir got up there to lead. Now, I'm not exaggerating. Her dress was split right there. Some of you think there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you without apology, nakedness has no place in the house of God. God will naked your soul, but that's God doing it. That doesn't mean your body's supposed to be naked. She stood there and directed that choir. And Brother Gary, I've done my best to try to get away from the message God had given me that night. I did. And the Holy Ghost said to me, if you don't preach this message tonight, you will never preach again. Just as sure as I said that to you, he said that to me.
Amen.
And I had to preach from the book of Leviticus dealing with holiness. And I've dealt with dress, I've dealt with desire, I've dealt with all the things that need to be dealt with.
Amen.
And I figured, boy, this thing is going to get me killed. I got through preaching and I prayed and I was going to give the service to the pastor. And I heard all this motion going on while I was trying to pray. And I was backing up all the time because I figured, you know. And when I opened my eyes, all across that church.
Amen. Amen.
And they came to me, Brother Gary. That woman that led the music that night, she came to me. She said, preacher, I didn't know. Nobody ever told me. Person after person said, preacher, we didn't know. It's a sad day. A sad day when folks who attend church, when folks who sing in the choir, when folks who lead the choir don't know what sin is. But in order to repent of sin, you have to know what it is. And in order to know what it is, somebody has to tell you. Do you ever wonder why God sent the preacher? He's not just to stand up here and fling his arms and say a few words. He's here to tell you what sin is. He's here to tell you what heaven is. He's here to tell you what forgiveness is, what repentance is, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to escape hell. But people don't hear.
Amen.
I'm sure that as long as some of those folks have been in church, God sent a man by there. At least one. But they couldn't hear. Until God opened their ears. Then they heard. Repentance begins by recognizing what sin is. I'm not going to keep you long. I'll have to come back to this next week. But sin, in repenting therefrom, demands a sorrow in our hearts because of what we've been. Our loved ones pass away, and sorrow breaks through on our very hearts. We cry, we weep, we pray. But very few of us really feel sorrow for sin. Oh God, awaken us to sin in our lives. Not everybody else's life, but in our lives. And help me to sorrow over my sin. You need to sorrow over your sin. You need to be sorry for what you've done. Gary and I were boys, we'd get in a wrestling match or something. Be doing something we didn't have any business doing. Dad would call us. He'd get both of us together. He'd say, "Now, Larry, you tell Gary you're sorry." I'd look at him and I'd say, "I'm sorry." You know what my dad would do? He said, "That don't work." He said, "You look him straight in the eyes and you tell him you're sorry." He'd say to Gary, "Yeah, you tell Larry you're sorry." He'd say, "Larry, I'm sorry." I said, "No." No. Daddy calls us to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." How many times? How many times did that happen? If it didn't teach us anything else, it taught us to have sorrow for the wrong that we did. And one of the greatest principles in the Word of God is right there. Feeling the sorrow for the sin that we've committed. Far too many of us are living on the gravy train, so to speak, paying no attention to the sin that's both about us and in our own lives. Listen, listen carefully. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible and will stand before God because of the wickedness that's taken place in this world around us. We fail to be the salt, and we fail to be the light that we should be. God help us to be the salt. God help us to be the light. Be all to be for the glory of God. Repent. Listen, don't be ashamed to repent. Honestly, before God, I've had folks tell me, I'm just too ashamed to go to the altar. Well, let me show you one thing. You don't have to go to the altar to repent unless the Holy Ghost tells you to. But now let me add something to that. If the Holy Ghost tells you to and you don't, you can say all you want to back there in that pew. "Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for my sin." And you'll be like Ahab. You'll be like Felix. Almost. thou persuadest me.
Amen.
Didn't do any good. Didn't do any good. You have to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. I've stopped my car in the middle of the expressway in Jacksonville, Florida, and shouted. But I've also stopped my car and bawled my eyes. I've flown through the clouds. That beautiful creation of God that shaped us down here in just gracious heaven. Flying through those clouds, rejoicing in the good things of God, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost reminded me something. It's a good thing God gave us all those pilots. You talk about IFR. You're really IFR when you're in the clouds and your eyes are flooded with tears. Sorrowing. Sorrowing for sin.
Amen.
By the way, we need to learn to sorrow for the sins of others as well. I believe Daniel was sorry for the sins of his forefathers. He prayed like he was. I think we should be sorry for the sins of our forefathers and where it's brought us today. I've often said that the church today would literally cause the church of 100 years ago, if it were possible, to turn over in the grave. Cause of the degeneration that's taken place.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. We used to go to church and the Holy Ghost would move and we all begin to rejoice and shout. Nowadays you can't get a holy peep out of most people because they're too concerned about their wedding. Far too long is preaching. I'm not going to get home enough time to see Billy Whop or whatever's about to happen. You don't need to be worried about the things of this world. Your mind needs to be in the world. Sorrow for repentance. We'll return to this, the Lord willing, on next week. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed.